Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sorry, I actually got that last two incorrect here. I'm fixing my audio feed here to make sure that we are recording today. I want to thank each and every one of you who have been calling in and emailing and sending us notices and asking questions and encouraging us about the show. It feels really wonderful to have each and every one of you expressing the effect that this show is having on you. I'm so grateful for everyone that's listening. I'm so grateful for all of you who have forwarded on the Blog Talk Radio program to your friends and family. Last week's show on fear was a resounding success, in my opinion. We had over 566 downloads so far of that show, and I honestly am just really grateful and blown away at how beautiful the response has been. And there's a beautiful question that was asked, and I want to talk about, first off, what I do is I teach a practice, a spiritual practice that engages with getting you in touch with your own internal guidance system. I actually call it the internal guidance system, and I've been doing this for 6 years. And this show is really about supporting individuals on using their internal guidance system to create the life of their dreams, but not only that, to create the ability to understand what's needed on the planet by you in the moment that's going to move us in the direction that we all want to be going in, towards joy, love, compassion, incredible rebuilding of systems here on the planet in a way that's going to be beautiful and suitable for everyone. And the way that this internal guidance system works is it's located between your throat and your stomach area, and you'll feel a sensation of what I call opening, which is a relaxed, expansive feeling in the body when your thoughts are in alignment, and you'll feel a tightening, anxiety, stress feeling in your body when your thoughts are out of alignment or not truth. And then there's also a neutral sensation. Now, I haven't really wanted to walk anybody in the radio program through that process. We have videos at YouTube online, and we also have the experiential video at internalguidancesystem.com, where you can go and you can check it out. And for those of you who have been checking it out, I wanted to mention that the questions you've been asking are just fantastic. And one of the questions that we've gotten is, of course, they say, if I feel good, I'm going to do that thing that feels good. And if I feel bad, I'm going to do that thing that feels bad. And so then isn't the thing that you're talking about here with the internal guidance system really more of a conversation around doing what feels good in the moment and what you're thinking that makes you feel good? And I want to let you know that actually, just because you have an opening sensation does not mean that you feel good. And just because you have a closing sensation does not mean that you feel bad. And you can have thoughts and emotions that are good and still have a stressed anxiety feeling, the closing feeling of your internal guidance system, because it's in relationship to your thoughts. It's independent from your mind. You actually, from the mental perspective, do not have control over this opening or closing. That's the fascinating part about it, is that you'll find that you'll feel really great and excited about something, and yet you'll have the anxiety in your belly and the pressing in on the chest. Or you'll feel really bad about something, but you'll still have an opening sensation in the belly and a relaxed sensation in your chest. So let me give you an example of this. My mother passed away when I was 24 years old. And it was the first time that I'd experienced grief on that level. And whenever I would have thoughts about how beautiful our relationship was and how powerful she was as a person in my life, I would get this warm, expansive feeling in my chest and stomach area. I would feel rich and full. Grief was a completely different experience from that place. And yet, whenever I would go into, oh, what about me? How am I going to, you know, be in life without my mom? Who's going to help me raise my children? You know, all of the self-pity conversation in my mind about my mom being gone. I would experience this immense closure in my stomach and my body and this tightening. Now, as you yourself get in touch with the internal guidance system inside of you, you're going to find that there are times when you feel really good about something and there's still a level of anxiety going on. And you're going to find that there are also times when you feel really bad about something and there's an opening expansion feeling. Now, sometimes the emotion, you feel bad and you're closed. You feel good and you're open, and they do match up. It's very much whatever the truth and reality of your thoughts in combination with your emotions are. But our emotions are not being driven by themselves. They're actually being driven by the story we tell ourselves in our mind. I realize that this is a little bit of a complex issue, but I'm going to bring it right back into the show. Before I do, I want to let you know that we will be taking calls today, and the call-in number is 646-378-1741. 646-378-1741. Now, let's bring this into the perspective of what's happening on the planet today. We're not sure about our economic situation, you know, here in the United States, at least. I know we have a lot of foreign listeners and foreign people people from other countries that are supporting this show. But here in the United States, we're in a bit of a recession that we're afraid of happening. We're in an election year. We don't know what's going to happen with our presidency. We have issues with our health care. Many of us are feeling constricted and worrisome and stressed about what's going to be in the future. We have environmental issues globally going on. And there's an energy that we all want to hold of hope. We want to be hopeful for our future. Okay? We want to be positive. And yet when you hear the news, how are you able to really be positive? And so let's take the energy of hope and let's talk about it a little bit. Because there's hope where I'm going to go through what exactly hope is, but there's hope where we have, oh, I hope everything works out. And then there's hope where deep down inside you know everything's going to work out. You can feel it in your body. And I would like to put forward that the hope that you feel, that you can feel in the beingness of your body, that there's when you know your kids are going to be okay. They may be screwing up right now, but there's a piece of you that knows your kid's a good kid, and somehow it's all going to work out. Or maybe you're going through a rough time in a relationship, and you just trust your partner. You know that whatever is happening in the moment with them, they're going to figure out, because they always have before, and you can trust them for that. And so when you say, you know, oh, I really hope they work this out, it's not coming from wishful thinking. It's coming from consistent knowing of that person. Well, there's a way that you can utilize your internal guidance system that will allow you to receive that sense of hope in your being, and it's not fake. And what I would like to presence is what is the dictionary say about hope? To me, this is really important. What the dictionary says, because I looked it up, is to wish for something with expectation of its fulfillment. And it's kind of like when they talk about prayer, when you pray to God or when you want to manifest or create something with visualization, you picture it already happening. You know, when you know, great prayers that go out that we've been taught in many of the religious traditions is you thank Creator for that thing arriving before it gets there, as if it has already arisen. To me, that's the expectation in the body, that hope that's consistent with true hope. It's a very different feeling than the hand-wringing, ooh, I hope everything's going to work out feeling that the body has, where you've actually got a closed feeling in the midst of you saying it. And you're saying this to counterbalance the worry and fear that you have going on in your body. But there's no real power in you to make it happen, to carry it forward. There's no expectancy of its fulfillment, which is what true hope is. It also says in the dictionary to have confidence and trust, to look forward with confident expectation of its fulfillment. So I was like, okay, how many times have I held hope for something that I really had no confident expectation that it was going to happen? Honestly, quite a bit. I mean, I don't know how things are going to turn out. I'm bringing this show forward of opening perspective specifically for the reason that in my soul searching, what I've come to is we have the opportunity to make it, and it's going to take every single person deciding that that's what we want to do for us to get it in gear and make it happen. And what opens me, what I have an actual confident expectation of it being fulfilled, is that when we kick it into gear, when we all get ignited, it is going to be one of the best experiences we've ever had. It's not going to be full of sacrifice. It's not going to be full of misery. Yeah, there's going to be the richness of the human experience as we're turning our heads to the direction we want to be. But it's going to be more fulfilling, more beautiful, more amazing than we've ever expected. We're going to be contributing on a level that we can't now. I mean, if I look at it, we're not really happy now anyways. Not really. We're out, we've got our things, we're buying, we're taking our vacations, we're spending time with friends. But most people, when I actually sit and dig down deep with them, there is a yearning for something more. There is a yearning for something richer. And I believe that that's where it's going to go in the future. And I think this energy of hope that I'm talking about today is what will cultivate that action. It's what will shift each and every one of us out of the incapacity to act because it seems hopeless into our own vibrant state of beingness that will allow us to carry that real confident fulfillment of an expectation for our future forward. Well, then I was looking at, okay, what is that fake hope that I do? What is that piece that I throw out into the world and go, oh, I hope that works out for you, and I'm listening to the story going, I don't think so. What is that? I was looking, I'm like, so the key is to hold a thought and have a confident expectation that it's going to be fulfilled, not a false positive emotion, and to really desire with proof in my body through my IGS opening in a grounded way, that it's going to happen. So what's the other thing? And what I discovered in my search, the other piece that we're doing, I hope it's going to work out without any real body-based action to back it up, is delusion. Deluding ourselves. Here's the definition of delusion. It's an action. Delusion is an action. The act or process of deluding. It's a state of being deluded. A false belief or opinion such as they labored under the delusion that success was at hand. Oh my Lord, how many times have I labored under the delusion that success is at hand? How many times have you labored under the delusion that success was at hand? All the facts may be against it. And our hope is so high, but there's nothing in our body that really believes that it's possible. So we just keep going one more time, one more time. In psychiatry, delusion is a false belief strongly held in spite of invalidating evidence, especially as a symptom of a mental illness. Delusions of persecution, for instance. But it's interesting. It's like a belief strongly held in spite of invalidating evidence. To me, the anxiety feeling that we feel when we make the statement about hope is really telling us in our bodies that this false evidence, that what's going to happen isn't real. Now, I'm not coming from the internal guidance system as some idea that I haven't worked with. I've worked with a couple thousand people consistently, and I feel very much that this process that I'm talking about is vetted. And it's not important for me really to sell you on it. You can go and explore it and experience it and enjoy it and all the rest. What's important for me about this particular radio program is that in discovering that this is a real and valid approach to guidance in our lives, and it's consistent and it's knowable, watching what happens to people who begin to follow this guidance, watching the level of confidence rise, watching them knowing their place and what they're here to contribute, having them understand how to unravel their own stuff in relationships and move into a new place with it. That's the kind of thing that's bringing me to this program. Coming out and saying, look, my hope, which is an expectation that is absolutely 100% in my body with a guarantee inside of me that it's going to be fulfilled, is that you are the most amazing creature on the planet who has a perfect integral piece to the puzzle that we are engaged in looking at putting together on how we're going to have a healthy, incredible future. Healthy, incredible future. Not pretending that everything's going to be okay, but knowing that everything's going to be okay. How exciting could that be for you to know? Now, you can use this sense of hope in everything in your life. And of course, I can't go over all of the practices and everything that we teach, but you can go to, like I said, internalguidancesystem.com and find out more, and there's great free resources on YouTube, and there's all kinds of ways to engage in this. But I would like to call you to task to begin shifting into being able to hold in your body true hope, unshakable, because you can feel it. And as the situation shifts, it'll shift with you so that you can stay in not a delusion, but in reality of what your expectation should be. There's another piece of this that was really actually very exciting to me that I just wanted to bring forward, and then I'll go on and talk about other things. And that is the conversation about faith. You know, I'm a spiritual person. I have my own personal relationship through meditation and prayer with a higher source, and it's not even something that's really important for me to discuss with everyone, because I believe that everyone, atheist, non-atheist, you know, all the various religious traditions of the planet, each are engaged in their own search and each is equally important. But faith, having faith in something I can't see, even though there's a large part of me that's like, I just know it. I just know it. Faith was this elusive thing. Have faith. How can I have faith? What is faith? Faith is it's equally unseen. How do you like grasp and hold on to faith? And faith is supposed to be this core thing that we have. And so what faith is the confident belief in the truth, value, or trustworthiness of a person, idea, or thing. Faith is the confident belief in the truth, value, or trustworthiness of a person, an idea, or a thing. How do you get confidence in certain things that are as elusive as the truth, a value, or even a person? I mean, it's in the opening of the IGF when you hold a thought in the mind, can I believe in this? And you feel in your belly that opening. We've lost our ability to trust ourselves, most of us. We think we know that we're taking the right action, going in the right direction. We're excited about the possibility. You know, many of us, people out there in the world have studied, you know, positive thinking, visualization, you know, how to have self-confidence in yourself and your ideas, believe in yourself at all costs, all of these things. We've followed the, you know, the inspirational gurus out there. We've gone to church. We've listened to our pastors and our preachers on how to hold faith, and yet we have failed. It hasn't worked. And it's so painful to put your hope in something and have it crash, to expect something in yourself or your life and have it not work out, to believe in something and you think you're doing it in the right way, only to come to the understanding that maybe that was a delusion. And how do we tell the difference between delusion and hope, especially in a time like right now, where it's so important to not be deluded? It's so important to have reality in our lives so that we can move forward in effective action. And also, if we're delusional, we can't engage a united front. Nobody's going to jump into our delusion with us. I mean, maybe a few people will. But really, the kind of support and effort that we need on the various things that we desire and are passionate about in our lives to have happen, we need people to have faith in those things occurring. On whatever level you're at, whether you're in the leadership position of that kind of thing and they're having faith in you, or whether you're a supporter and putting your faith in someone else as they're leading you forward and your precious resources of time and energy are being put into this thing that's so important. So, my offer to you is that if you explore the energy of the anxiety and stress in your body, and then when you're feeling relaxed, comfortable, and open, and if you remember that the anxiety and stress, which I call closing of your internal guidance system, IGS, if you explore when you feel the anxiety and the stress in combination with what you're thinking, knowing that that means that the thoughts you're having are not true and not reliable, not in alignment. No matter how excited you may be by a business opportunity, if you've got that little irky feeling in your tummy and your belly and your chest, your IGS is telling you that opportunity is not what in your purpose, in alignment for you. Maybe a good opportunity, but it may be that what you need to put into that opportunity is something you're going to need in the future. It may be that it is a bad opportunity. When you are really down and upset about somebody, and you're thinking about, you know, how awful they are, and they shouldn't be in your life, and maybe you should end your friendship, and you feel an expanded, relaxed feeling in your chest, even if your thoughts are negative about someone, you better pay attention to that opening. That's your IGF saying, maybe this person is wasting your time, is not a valuable resource and friend that it has an equal relationship that's nurturing you on your divine purpose towards where you intend to go. And it's the same thing if you're worried about our future and our economy and you're getting that closed feeling. That means that maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it won't affect you in the way that you're worried about. And on the flip side, if you're about to go and do some big purchase or spend your money for something you think you really want, and as you're walking up to the cash register, you're excited about the item, but your little stomach is tight and closed, you better pay attention, because it may be that you're overspending. Stop for a second. fold the scenario of maybe this isn't the best time to buy it and see if your internal guidance, your body opens up a little bit. And if it does, take the time to follow that. Put the item back on the shelf for a second. Pay attention. There's a unique synchronicity that you can be engaged in with your IGS that will help guide you with these things. At this time in our history, we are all so compulsive. We want what we wanted and we want it now. We need to fix our relationship this week. Relationships take years, but this week it's so desperate. We get into this drama about the now. And our IGS will guide us that, oh, wait a minute, you're closing at this thought. So this is a really rich, visceral, powerful tool, and it does take a while to develop. But my understanding is that it will bring you your truth of a confident fulfillment, that it will be hope in your life that you can count on. And as you can count on it, it will guide you into a deep sense of faith about your purpose and the people in your lives and what's going on. And it's from that stronghold of knowing what's right for you and what's possible on the planet that truly anything is possible. And that your desires can be fulfilled. And I don't mean the desires, which is one other piece that I'm going to talk about today. I'm not necessarily talking about all desire. But before I move forward, I want to wrap up and say thank you very much. This question came in from our YouTube questions about, and it was, you know, I kind of summed it up because it was a very long email instead of just reading the question. But basically what they wanted to know is, well, aren't you just talking about positive thinking and negative thinking? Of course, isn't everyone on the planet going to do what feels good? And aren't you just talking about doing what feels good or not doing what feels bad? And I'm here to present that it's not that. That there is a different source inside of you, which is very powerful. And it's working to guide you. And not only is it working to guide you, but it's working to bring you into your divine purpose. The other piece that I wanted to talk about today is a second question that came in. But before I do that, I want to go ahead and give out the call-in number again. The number is 646-378-1741. And I'd love to take questions and comments if you're interested. I know that there's a lot of people here that's listening, and that's great. But I'd love to see if there's anything that any questions I can answer. That would be wonderful. Okay, now, the other question that came in, which I thought was very interesting, is they said, well, of course, I'm going to take the easy path, because in the last three radio programs, what I have talked about is how your desire that opens you in your body is guidance from your intelligent source to move forward in that direction. And the person called in and said, well, of course everybody's going to do what feels good. They're going to do whatever they want. And what about compulsion and addiction? And you can't just follow your desires all the time. And what if I need to push through obstacles in order to make something happen? And, you know, I'm finding that I'm kind of lazy. And, okay, so I'm going to talk about that for just a second because I think it's a really valid and viable question. And that, here's what it is. The internal guidance system. It's not there to tell you how to take the easy path. In fact, what I have found in my life is that sometimes the hardest thing that I'm opening about is what I'm intended to do. And I'll give you an example. There's one. I am somebody who loves to be liked. I love to have friends. It's really challenging for me when I have this person who doesn't like me, and that's my own stuff. That's ego stuff. That's something I'm working on. I've been working on since I was a little kid, and I'm getting better at it. But I want to say that I had this friend who I kept supporting and helping and helping and helping, and they just kept not showing up for me, and I was getting more and more frustrated. And I came to this place where every time I would think about being, you know, somewhere with them or calling them, I got my closing of my IGS. And I finally thought one day, you know, I really need to end this friendship. It's taking lots of my resources. It's not nourishing. And also, I don't think me being engaged with this person and supporting them in them falling apart like this and not showing up for others is really helping them. I think I'm being kind of codependent here. And I opened, and I felt this opening, and I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and just stop being friends with them. Immediate closing, dropping in the stomach, tightening in the chest. I thought, oh, no, what does that mean? So I was like, I should tell them why I'm going to stop being friends with them. And I started thinking about doing that, and I opened. Now, let me tell you something. I got really scared. I do not, not now. I'm okay with being in conflict conversations because I know how to do them well. I've studied and trained how to do them well so I can have difficult conversations now. But in my late 20s, I honestly was not good at conflict conversations. I would get scared. I was passive aggressive. I had all kinds of issues because I didn't know how to communicate. So for me, having a difficult conversation was the most frightening thing that you could have asked for me to do. And yet, no matter how much I was frightened and scared and had thoughts about it's going to go bad and they're not going to like me and all of that, I actually was open at having it. So I went and I had the conversation with this person and said, look, you've not shown up. You've been flaky. You've left me holding the ball on several occasions, and it's cost me time and energy and money, and it's just really feeling like this is not a relationship I want to be in anymore. And they got furious. They screamed and yelled and sent me nasty emails for several days and finally said that they were going to, you know, tell everybody what a horrible person I was. All of these fears about being abandoned and people not liking me started racing in. And yet when I thought, did I do the right thing? I opened. And when I thought, should I call this off and just make peace? I closed. And I had to hang in there tough. About a month and a half later, I got a call from this person, and they said, I really want to thank you. And this person was vicious, I have to say. And they said to me, I really want to thank you. I really want to thank you because when I went and complained to people about what you had said and done, everyone agreed with you. Everyone said that I was a flake. Everyone said they were at the end of their rope with my friendship. And I did a lot of soul searching, and I just want to thank you because nobody was telling me, and I almost lost all of my friends. The internal guidance system is not going to lead you into the easiest path. It will lead you into a safe path. It will lead you into a rich path. It will lead you into challenges that you need to be engaged in when you're ready and it knows you can handle it. But it's really not about the easy, least resistance path. If you're intended to break through an obstacle in order to achieve something, you will open at breaking through that obstacle. And I can't tell you how many times I have closed at breaking through an obstacle, going after something at all cost when I was younger, only to get myself in immense amounts of trouble. Not listening to the guidance that the universe is giving me by putting obstacles in my way. And the difference is that the obstacles will feel invigorating, exciting. There'll be challenges. They'll feel like, okay, what is this about? What is this obstacle telling me that I need to reconfigure my plan around a little bit to make it even more accurate, more effective than it would have been? Versus totally exhausting you, making you feel like you want to climb underneath the covers. There's no flow happening with the obstacles. People are leaving the situation because they're looking at it going, this isn't where I need to be. There's too much struggle here. There's too much strife. It's too hard. So your IGS, engaged, is not about the easy path. It's about the path that's right for you. It's about your intended purpose. It's about your life lessons. It's about being in relationship with people that you're intended to be in relationship with. It's about not being in relationship with others who may need other friends or may be taking up too much of your valuable time and resources. It'll help you understand where you're wasting your time and where you're not wasting your time. And as this beautiful person said in their email to me, I'm lazy. I won't do anything if I'm left to do what I truly desire. I would bring forth from the people that I've worked with in the past who have called themselves lazy. They're not lazy, they're uninspired. And you can look at how they are on vacation, for instance. There's one way they are about laying on the couch watching TV all the time at home because they just don't know what they're intended to be doing and it's the best option they can think of in the moment. But you get them out on vacation and, man, they're snowboarding, they're scuba diving, they're playing in the beach. You can't keep them down. They're up early in the morning and they're out racing around. And so you look at, are you really lazy or are you uninspired? And so that's something that you need to pay attention to, because the desire that opens you is what you're intended to be following. And I will hold to that with all of my hope and faith, because I know it in my body to be true. The desire that opens you is what you're intended to be following. And in that desire comes the leaping out of bed in the morning. It comes being able to go through the school of hard knocks with your passion and being able to stick to it. I always try to bring into the program a fantastic person or idea or thing out there in the world. And I have to say, last night I found so many incredible things to tell you about today that I was just blown away. It's almost as if there were so many. I could probably do this program for the rest of my life and not come up with all of them, because I didn't even know which one was best. But I decided on one for sure that I want to talk about. And that is this man. His name is Jeffrey Canada. G-E-O. Joffrey is how it sounded instead of Jeffrey, but it's Jeffrey Canada. And he is engaged in a project in Harlem. He's been teaching school for 25 years. He's a young, well, middle-aged, to me that's young, black man. And they've taken 97 blocks of Harlem. And they have dedicated to this Harlem Children's Program, where they've decided they're going from cradle to college with 10,000 students, underprivileged students. And how this came about is that after working for over 15 years in the education system in Harlem, New York, trying to make a difference, they were failing. They actually looked at the measured success of the programs that they were creating inside the school systems. And he said, we failed. We were actually worse off than when he had started of getting kids educated. But he has a passion, an overarching, igniting passion in his body for Harlem and its youth. And he looked at the fact that he'd been working for 15 years creating with inside this paradigm of the school system, and everything was worse. How do you engage in all of the things that are going on this planet without having such a passion in your body to keep going when it doesn't work or when it's hard or when you can't figure it out? I'm telling you, if you're not doing your passion, you'll quit. If you really don't believe in it, if you don't have a true level of hope in your body, you'll quit. And that quitting will be more detrimental than anything else. But of course, he gets to this place of looking at it and completely in disillusionment and hopelessness. And after a short period of time, he gets back on the horse, he looks around, he goes, what is it going to take? And what he realized was is that the school system was not working, that it was created in the 1930s, and that we have changed, our students have changed, our world has changed. There is a great interview with him on Charlie Rose. I highly recommend Joffrey Canada on Charlie Rose. He has a fantastic website where you can go check out the work that he's doing. Now, I want to bring that forward. And if you're someone who's totally passionately engaged in children and educating them, he's a great man to get a hold of. He's very easy, actually, to get a hold of. So here's the deal. He realized that there were so many outside influences that being in school during the day and where he was getting these kids hit and miss throughout their lives, was not enough. So they came up with a program where they decided to make a commitment to 10,000 students from cradle to college graduation. And the only measure of their success is having a successful college graduate. That's the measure of their success. Now, they have all these great programs. They have these parents, college for parents, right? And what it is it's a 0-3 training program for the parents inside of Harlem to be able to learn how to parent effectively, how to feed their kids, how to engage with their kids, how to develop their kids, how to create community. It became about community. See, in the 30s, when school was started, we had our families that we were living with. We had grandma and grandpa, and we had resources, and we had neighbors, and everybody was engaged in raising our children. But as we've gotten bigger and broader, and technology has taken over, and our work days have gotten longer, and both parents start working, we no longer have the community. So school was an adjunct education to our community system, is what Jeffrey found out. So he needed to create that adjunct, the system that the school system sits on top of. So that's what he engaged in. They have a 4-6 program. They have a 6-8 program. They have various programs throughout the school system. They have a college prep program. They begin engaging in the conversation of college early on. And they carry it home. Their parents are expecting, because it's 0-college, the parents expect that their kids are going to go to college. They expect them to start looking at what scholarships they're going to look at. They start planning. The entire conversation is different. Now, how would you feel if you've been working on something for 15 years that you really believe that you can create in your life? And you get to the end of 15 years and you look at what you've done and you've done nothing. In fact, it's worse. If you didn't have the true heart and soul for that project, do you think that you could sit back, take a deep breath, and dig into the problem even more? There's another amazing man that was on. I want to just also give you Jeffrey's website. It's HC as in Charlie, Z as in Zen.org. HC as in Charlie, Z as in Zen.org. And you can read all about everything I'm telling you and what's going on. And they're having incredible success. And the whole philosophy that he talks about is really one to just read about so you can have that philosophy in your own life about what's possible. I'm going to give the call-in number again. It is 646-378-1741. Now, the reason that I'm bringing up this is because that overarching desire is the opening of the IGS, and it guides you into what you're intended to be doing. And there are many, many, many of us right now who are not able to be engaged in what we truly want to be doing. Like, our heart's desire is so far away from where we are today that we've practically given up. In fact, not only have some of us given up, out of the thousands of people that I've talked to, not only have we given up, but we don't even know what our heart's desire is anymore, because we've given up so long ago on being able to do anything but the little tiny life that we're leading. And we don't even bother to dream anymore. We don't even bother to check in. We don't even bother to have a hope for that. We, you know, console ourselves with our tiny little, you know, moments of glory where we get to help somebody or go to a movie or take a vacation or have a great conversation. But that really overarching, I've got to get out of bed every morning and do this thing, because if I just don't, I just don't want to be here anymore. I just rather be doing this than anything else. Don't make me take a vacation, for God's sakes. You don't take me away from my love, my passion. And if you're going to make me go on vacation, then let's make it about what my passion is. We don't even have that for most of us. So let's talk a little bit about how to get back engaged in that. Because my belief is your passion and desire that opens you is the exact thing that the planet needs to come back into symbiotic alignment and synergy with each other and earth. It's what you would love to do most that's what's required of you. I promise. And what happens is there's a level. There's the first level of what you want to do most is fun and play, especially if you've been working hard for a long time. But then that after a little while of fun and play, you quickly start to realize, you know, I really want to be contributing. I want to be doing something. Even if I have enough money and everything, how do I do that? So how do you get back into the searching for that? There's a couple of ways. Okay, this is a specific conversation for those people who have lost their real connection with their desire. What it is their life's purpose is, what if they could do nothing else on the planet would they choose to do? And if they had every opportunity and they could choose, what's that thing, that visceral thing in their body that is just like, yes, this is it. How do you get back in touch with that? Well, the fastest way that I have found, there's a couple, but the fastest way I have found is to look at really what really pisses you off. Look at what really infuriates you about the planet, about what's happening, about people. Because in the core of that, what often happens is that in the I don't care because I can't have my passion and I'm leading the little life and it's, I don't care. And by little life, I mean, we've got some really big lives going on there, but inside it feels like a little life. And then we've got some little lives out there that just are totally impassioned and doing amazing things. So by little life, all I'm talking about is not giving your fullest heart desire to where you are satiated at being on the planet. So look at what really angers you, what really infuriates you, what really irritates you, what really gets your goat. For me, if you listen to the very first radio program, and I highly recommend that you do, please, because that's where my heart and soul for this is. For me, it's watching all those paper coffee cups with plastic lids get thrown away, knowing how much resources and oil it takes, realizing how simple it is, because I've been doing it now for 4 years, it is to carry a reusable mug, and that if 300 million people in the United States who drink coffee and tea were to reuse a mug, the amount of level of trees and gas and oil. And it used to infuriate me to watch people at my little Pete's Coffee here in California throw their cup away. Again and again and again, day after day after day, unconsciously. And I would just get so irritated. And then I really got it. I was like, you know what? I got to do something about that. If I could simply do that one thing of getting people to get reusability in the coffee realm, let alone the water bottle realm and all the other places. If I could just do that one thing, I would be so happy. I would just be glowing to watch an entire coffee shop like Starbucks or Pete's with everyone setting their cup up on the counter. That would just turn me on so much. I would be just glowing with joy if that could happen. But it came out of my irked sense of being. And I have spoken to people all over the country about that. And I love walking into my Pete's Coffee and having somebody raise their mug at me and point at it and smile. So look at what it is. Because that's your thing to contribute. Turn it around into what you would want to have happen and look at a way to empower it from excitement and inspiration and pleasure, not from belittling someone or telling them how they have to do it or why they have to do it or why they're wrong in not doing it, but inspiring them based on your passion and your excitement for that thing. So that's one way. And just spend a little time writing out all the things that irritate you and how you would like it to be, and watch what happens as you go through those how you would like it to be. Watch which one engages you in the most energy, that open, expanded feeling, and then kind of start fantasizing about it and dreaming about it and see what happens. When you're so far away from your intended purpose in this lifetime, there's always a breadcrumb available for you to take on. Your IGS will lead you back into your divine source and purpose and alignment very, very simply and easily. It's not going to tell you to go quit your job necessarily and give up everything. It's going to say, oh, go to that meeting. Ooh, why don't you have dinner with that person from the meeting? Oh, Here's a great thing. Tell them about what you're passionate about. Oh, she's passionate about it too. Next thing you know, the two of you, you've got a partner in crime aligned, creating some change in your community. So it's not doesn't necessarily have to be this big, huge, traumatic life change. And I'm not saying that it can't be. I don't want to deter you from your relationship with your IGF and what the two of you are getting, you know, in cahoots about. But it can be these little tiny, tiny, tiny moments. And those little tiny, tiny moments will lead you right back to where you were intended to be. And all of a sudden, you'll be jumping out of bed every morning, and you'll look back and go, how did I get here? And you may not be even able to realize it. It's that simple. It's that clean. It's that clear. It's that easy. I didn't get to this radio program here today by leaping. It took 6 years. All the work and all this conversation I'm having with you has taken years for me to think about and develop and create. But here I am. So you're beautiful. You're important. I'm going to give you another piece of how to get in touch with your desires of what to do. Ask the people around you what you're passionate about. Believe me, they know. They know. They're the ones watching TV with you when you start yelling at the TV or when you start crying at seeing a show. They're the ones that are watching you read what you read and do what you do and talk about what you talk about. And you may not know what you're passionate about, but your people around you do. So if your little heart has been collapsed from years of not being able to do what you're intended to do and not having your passion show up as beautifully and powerfully as you'd like, ask for help. Just put the call out to people around you. I want to jump out of bed every morning thrilled at who I get to be in the world, thrilled at what I get to do. Is there anything that you can think of that you know about me that I may not be paying attention to that would help me to get on that track? And I am doing this for a very, very selfish reason. I am doing this radio program and talking to you about all of these things because I can't have the world of my passion and dreams unless you have the world of your passion and dreams. And unless you get in gear to have your dreams and passions manifest and created and are living them, it's not going to happen. It's going to take every one of us. Really. No one can be left out of this quest. So I am committed to do what I need to do on behalf of you to support you in that happening. And I have absolute hope with expectation of it being fulfilled that that's going to occur. I want to talk about one more person. I love to talk about TED.com. You know that. I also want to let you know that we've got some special guests that I'm organizing to come on the program, which I think you're going to be very, very pleased with. And I'm not going to reveal them this week. Next week I'll be revealing them. But I am totally blown away that I get to bring some of these people to you and their concepts and ideas and what they're doing in the world. But I want to bring about our TED.com showcase of the week. Now, TED.com, if you don't know who they are, go check them out. It's an incredible group of people that are putting together these media presentations that are about 20 to 22 minutes long, the top minds on the entire planet in every way, shape, or form in industry. And I want to talk about this 2007 winner of the I Have a Dream. TED.com allows for people to have their wish granted, and they chose E.O. Wilson. E.O. Wilson is 80 years old. Been working full-time this whole time. He is an entomologist. He studies ants and bugs. And they call him the father of sociobiology. Can you believe at 80 years old, he's winning the TED Award, which means he has a wish that he wants to be fulfilled, and so he is engaging on a new level of global collaboration to have his wish fulfilled at 80 years old? Don't tell me that you're too old to have your dreams come manifest. Don't tell me it's too late. I have friends who are 60 years old to go back to law school and do incredible things. between 60 and 90. So E.O. Wilson, his wish for this year is he wants to have an encyclopedia of life, an online encyclopedia of life. He's a biologist, as I said. He's an entomologist. He's with the Harvard University. And he has a great interview on PBS.com that you can access through TED. But go to TED, check out E.O. Wilson, and look at his speech about his dream and why he wants to have an encyclopedia of life. And then also you can click through to PBS and check out that interview. That interview is incredible. But did you know that there's only a tenth of the life on this planet that has even been named or categorized? 90% of the biological life on this planet is still unfound and undetected. We think that we have found everything there is to be found. Been there, done that. Let me tell you something. It is a fact that 90% of the biological life on this planet has not been witnessed, photographed, you know. And so what they're doing is they're going to create, he's engaging everyone all over the world. They've got $50 million that has been contributed to this, to an online encyclopedia that everyone will be able to access. And he's engaging the scientists all over the world to classify and find out what's really out there, engage us in living and learning about it. Now, this is the interesting piece. We talk about the desire that opens you. This man, who is one of the top biologists on the planet, has done incredible things, 25 books to his name, got all these awards and prizes. He's so down to earth and gracious and precious. When you see these interviews, you're just going to fall in love with him. He says flat out that the reason for his life being dedicated to bugs, by the way, ants in particular, he studied ants all over the planet, and a lot of his research has helped us in our way of living in community and collaboration and traffic patterns and how we organize cities. His research has gone into all these different ways that have come from ants. Him studying his anthill in his backyard as a kid is the passion that he followed for the rest of his 80 years. That is what brought him, his anthill in his backyard, to winning the TED Award and engaging all of the biological scientific community in this charge of before life disappears. Let's at least get a picture of it. Let's at least understand it. He talks about on Bill Moyer's program how the UN reports that in 30 years, 25% of all mammals on the planet will be gone. And there's a lot of biologists who think that it's a little higher than that. And he talks about, you know, this devastating thing. This is the place of where we get hopeless. But even in his engagement of facing facts that are absolutely incredible and can barely be taken on how do you even mentally conceive of 25% of the mammals on this planet being extinct in 30 years. And your life has been dedicated to life on this planet. And even in the midst of that, he absolutely has faith that we can turn it around. It's what he said, I have faith in humanity. I have faith that we're going to get it into gear. The number one thing that he says that we need to shift is our consumption patterns. We have an 80-year-old man who's absolutely following his internal guidance system and opening that we can make a difference, that we will make a difference, and that humanity is going to shift. And I have to tell you that in looking for what I wanted to talk about today and who I wanted you to go check out as your independent work that'll just fire you up and it'll just bring beauty to your life and inspiration to your being, and I also want to get you kind of like tuned into the alignment of what your passions might be and who you can jump on board with and things you can start in your community and kind of open up your awareness of the possibility of everything that's at your fingertips. There were so many people, so many ideas, so many things that I found. I couldn't possibly once a week for the next, what do we have now, 48 weeks? I couldn't possibly explore them all in that amount of time. There is so much happening that is so incredible on this planet right now. And so many people doing so many things, and I can't wait for you to be one of them. I'm so excited. I believe in you. I need you. Jump in. get in the boat. Let's get off the dock. Let's go out on an adventure. Let's make it happen. Let's do something excitable that nobody else can do but you and I. I want to thank you so much for the show today. We're at the end of our hour. This is Opening Perspectives every Wednesday, 10 to 11 a.m. It's all about you. I want to thank Gary Malkin, who is the composer who created the music for this show. You can find Gary Malkin at wisdomoftheworld.com. Please go to our website and check out internalguidancesystem.com. We would love it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you listening. I love having you on the show. Write me at zen@internalguidancesystem.com. If you have any questions, we would love your support. And I'll talk to you next week. Namaste.